bad news announcements, so we're going to give you a good one. We have a repeat great-grandparents here. And, well, it's part of my family, too, so it's great-nephew has been born. Jonathan and Quinn welcomed Brady Bill Lambert to the world this morning at about 12:17. Yay. Congratulations. Yeah. And I don't know if it was actually out yet, but now it is. Yay. So there you go. Sorry if I wasn't supposed to do that, but whatever. Yeah. You all look cheerful. Cheerful. Yeah, I look around and I do. I see the joy. Even in the midst of all this stuff, I do. I see the joy, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we can have peace and joy that goes beyond understanding, because it doesn't make sense. I remember when Dad passed away, I remember the peace that was there. And I remember that we had joy. You know what? We didn't have a mournful celebration. Yeah, there were tears, but it wasn't mournful. It was grief, but it wasn't sad. It was a joyful time. We sang the Hallelujah Side, which is a faster hymn that you wouldn't expect at a funeral, but my dad always wanted it, and so we were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's sing that one. And we sang, I can't remember what else we did, but it was just it was a joyful time. We laughed, like, of course, because I was preaching. So what do you do? Because I have a tendency to bring comedy to it, sometimes unintentional. But yeah, it's just surprising how I had a family members come up to me at that funeral and just say, you know what, it's such a blessing to come to this type of a funeral where it's not doom and gloom, where it's actually a celebration of life. And so I hope that you are feeling that kind of a thing too, just like Terrell said, that he came in a little bit distracted, but now God just moved in him because he saw those words about the garments of praise. And so, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. We are in a series of Colossians. This is our sixth one in the series, and so far we've gotten through Colossians 1:14. So I don't know if I'll continue doing it this way. Mind you, then Terrell preached a couple in Colossians 2, so we're a little bit further ahead than I might be looking at. But depends if we continually exegetically going through each verse or if we end up starting to put themes to this. We'll see what happens. Colossians 1:14 says, oh, let's go back one because I like to do that to you. Yeah. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We dealt with verse 13 last time, and was that last week? I honestly, my days, I think it was last week we talked about the kingdom of darkness, and we dealt with that quite strongly. And so today we're going to deal with that fifth word, redemption. We look at this, we look at the what Jesus Christ did when he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And a lot of times what we focus on is the second phrase, the forgiveness of sins. But it's redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Some of your Bibles will actually say and some don't. They put the comma there instead. Personally, and this is my personal thing, I like the fact that it's and the forgiveness of sins, because we've been redeemed from so much more than just the forgiveness of sins. But the forgiveness of sins is very important. It talks about that throughout the Bible, that the whole sacrificial system was based on the forgiveness of sins. But there was more to the law than that. There's all these talks about cities of refuge, cities of redemption. There's the 50 years of the Jubilee when everything gets redeemed back to the original owner. There's all these different things that show redemption. And it's more than just the forgiveness of sins. We are given back. We are redeemed what we originally had. Now, you go back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall, and they had it all. They did not have to toil for their provision. Now, toil is different than work. They had to work. They still had to tend things. They tended the garden. But it wasn't toil. It wasn't a struggle. It was just basically just reach out and grab the fruit and eat it. But they had to tend. They probably had to do a little bit of pruning. How many people they find, when we talk about the day of rest, this is fun. I don't know if we've watched, I can't remember what all we watched with Robert Morris, but if we watched his Sabbath sermon series, what he talks about in Sabbath is rest, but you can be doing something and still rest. You've heard me talk about it. I talk about my Mondays. My Mondays is laundry day. I do the laundry. And now the whole sorting and throwing things in the washer, that part of it, I could do without. But I love to fold laundry. I don't know why, but I really enjoy it. I enjoy that part of it. So when my mom is here, she really, like, as soon as that first beep on my dryer is on, she's off the couch and at the door, and I'm like, she's taking away my joy. Sorry, Mom. Truth is coming out right now, but it really is. I don't mind the help, but I enjoy that part of it. It actually brings me rest, and that's the point of the Sabbath. It's not necessarily not doing. Like, because some people, that's the whole thing. You don't do anything. And that's how it is in Israel, too. But the whole idea was entering into a rest. Some people, they work on vehicles, and that's where they find their rest. Some people, they sew. Some people, they cook. And you know, when we end up taking the things that we love to do and adding the law to it and saying, you can't do it, we are actually stealing from our rest. So find something that you enjoy doing, and it could be even laying on the couch and resting, doing nothing. It could be. But if there's something that you enjoy, I know Pastor Robert, his thing was mowing the lawn. He loved to do it. That was his way of resting. He went out onto his tractor. I don't know if it was a lawn tractor or a full tractor, but he would just mow the lawn. And so it's important to find that kind of a thing, to rest from it. But that's what they had at the beginning. And then the sin happened, and the curse of sin happened. And what ended up going was that there was toil involved to get the fruit of the land. That the toil was added. And what God is wanting us to get back to is that redemption. We're wanting to get back to what was originally given. And so, what's talked about here in Colossians chapter 1 is more than that forgiveness of sins. So what are we redeemed from? Let's turn back a few books to Galatians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 6. Galatians 3, verse 6. And it says, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Let's jump down to verse 24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now that is referring to the anointing and the authority that we had, which we talked about a few Sundays ago. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. I'm sorry for the joltedness of my reading. I don't know if you caught it, but I did. There's something going on in me right now. I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is. But continue to pray for me, because I have a lot of reading to go. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. I honestly thought that the Bible said that we are redeemed by the curse of sin and of death. That's what I honestly thought that it said. But it doesn't. Nowhere in this whole book does it say the curse of sin. Nowhere. It always talks about the curse of the law. Now, what was the law there for? It pointed us to sin. It pointed us to sin. So it technically is, but it is not actually referred to that. So it's the curse of the law. So what I want to do is I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 28. As this is where it is talked about, the blessings of the law and the curses of the law. Now you have to understand, in regards to this part of it, the blessings of Abraham started way before this. In fact, over 400 years prior to this, the blessings of Abraham were listed, which is that he was going to be able to bless all the nations of the world. That's why it said in Colossians 1 that the gospel was preached prior to the law through Abraham, when it said that blessed are will be all the nations. And it's why? It's because of faith. It's not because of obeying the law. It's through faith that we are redeemed. Now, this is going to sound kind of contradictory in just a few moments here, because I talk in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you follow if you obey God, then these blessings will be for you. If you disobey God, or if you do not obey God, then these curses will be on you. But and we'll look at that. So let's just read verse 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That's verse 1. Now, where it says, obey the word of the Lord, or the commandments, the direct translation says, listen to the voice of God. And that's the original how it is read. But it does say in most of our Bibles, it says, obey the Lord your God, or obey the commandments. But the direct translation is listen to the voice of God. And that's really important, because when we start to think on it today, being no longer under the law, we read this and it's like, oh no, I need to be under the law. But we are not under the law anymore. So how do you do this? You listen to the voice of the Lord. Where do you get that? Mostly from here. But the Holy Spirit is a big part of that. Big part of that. And so we need to be listening to that voice, that inner witness, the thing that just all of a sudden tells you this is the way to go. Some people call it intuition. Other people call it chance or fate. But if we actually listen to that inner witness, it will guide us in the things to do. And it will take us in the right path. So that's why when we are driving down the road and we're like, okay, how do I get somewhere? we can actually ask the Lord. And if we are asking out of faith, He will answer us. Sometimes we just do it out of desperation. He may answer us as well. But if we do it out of faith, He answers us. He is concerned about every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. And you can follow the unctions of the Holy Spirit, that inner witness, to do a lot of things. There are people that I know that invest their money by way of the Holy Spirit. I've tried that. I can tell you, it hasn't worked that way. But there are other things, including in finances, that it has worked. But for some reason, I haven't gotten that investment thing. Not that I won't try again, but we'll just see. We'll chat about it later. I actually don't have a plan. I'm just saying that. Just having fun. See? Comedy. Yay. Verse 2. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, or fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, or the fruit of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Wow, it's a blessing to read about the blessings of the Lord, right? You know what the sad part is? There's a lot of people in the church today that don't believe in them. They don't believe the blessings of the Lord. And I'll prove it to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. What do you think of when you hear that verse? Most people? Well, that can't be true. Why not? It's in the Word. Why not when in Deuteronomy 28 it says that He will make us prosperous? Why? So that people recognize that you are part of God. That's why. No other reason. The blessings of the Lord. But it doesn't just deal with finances. Richness is not just about being wealthy. It's having richness in all aspects, and we will get to that a little bit further later on. But the big thing is, we are told to take care of those who are around us, the widows, the orphans. It tells us to take care of people who are hurting. Question for you, and I have asked this before, but it really does come home to it. How do you take care of others when you can't take care of yourself? So the blessings of the Lord come in to give us abundance. Why? So that we can show them the abundance of the Lord. So that we can give out to others to help them in doing their things. And if it honestly is against God's will for us to have money, then why are we working for pay? Because we're serving someone else, our debtors. We cannot serve money and God too, mammon, wealth. We can't serve that. Why? Because if you're working just to get money to pay off someone else, you are actually worshiping that. You're serving that. Because the whole purpose of our life is to get out of debt. But if you get out of debt, then you can truly worship God. You're understanding, I hope? Please do not turn me off just because I've gotten into a provision type message. These are promises in the Word that come from listening to the Lord God, from obeying what He tells us to do. When He comes in and He says to you, go to the left, don't go to the right. Go to the left. And I'm talking about the little things. I'm talking about those days, the one that I always refer to because it's so vivid in my mind, when Emma was mopping the floor and I was told not to go into the garage, and so I did go into the garage and I ended up going up the stairs into the back. And no, don't come this way, go around to the front. And if I would have parked out front, then I would have done it in the first place. Little things. Was I cursed because I didn't do that? No. But I would have been blessed not having my daughter yell at me. She wasn't yelling like angry. She was just yelling so that I would hear. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the little things that He's concerned with. He didn't want me to get my socks wet. So He was telling me to go the other way. And for me, being a human, I was thinking, why would I do that? In all the years I've lived here, I've never gone that way. So why would I do it? Because the Lord told me to. That's why I should have done it. But you know, the big thing about this, those of you who have turned to your Bibles in Deuteronomy 28, if you've started to read on, you'll recognize that there are another 54 verses to go. The first 14 are the blessings. The other 54 are the curses. But if you're blessed of God, you're protected from the curse, because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So I am going to attempt to read all of these to you. And if it's not going to happen the way that it did for the first little bit that I was reading. But it shall come about, if you do not listen to the voice of the Lord, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I charge you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now please understand, we are blocked from this. We are redeemed from this. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. Now that stuff there all repeated basically the opposite of what was in the first few verses. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Now, when you look at this verse here, and you look at the counterpart on the other side where it says it will rain in its season, this one here it says it will turn the rain into powder and dust. People like to quote the thing that the verse that says it rains on the righteous and the wicked. And they say that all the same things that happen to them have to happen to me. Okay, I agree to that in a little bit. Then explain to me the 10 plagues of Egypt, where the Israelites were protected from the curses, including where darkness fell on the land and Egypt had absolutely no light, but the country of Israel did. So the curses can be blocked by the blessing. And God did that. Why? The plagues of Egypt came to prove who God was and who the children of Israel were. And he did that quite effectively. Their things were affected, or the Egyptians were affected, the Israelites were protected. What verse am I on? 25. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them. You will be an example of the terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. You know, if every believer would walk in the blessings, people would flock here. Because we would be an example of the blessings of God. But if we're not following the words of the Lord and the curses come against us, we are an example of the terror. Yes, it's sobering for me too. Verse 26. Oh, I have a lot of ways to go. I'm not going to pause on every verse. Your carcasses will be food to all birds of the sky, to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness, and with blindness, and with bewilderment of heart. You will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. You will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Pause there. It says that you will be robbed continually. Malachi 3:10 says, "Test me in this. Put your money in the storehouse. Give tithes. And you will be blessed, and he will shut off, he will cut off, he will stop the devourer from ravaging you." There are things to following the Lord. This is not a money message. I'm not preaching about giving to the church, but those promises are there as well. That is one way, and I can tell you for a fact, if every single person in every single church in the world would be tithing, there would not be money problems in churches. Yet there are churches every day that are closing down because they do not have the money to do so. That's that one. Verse 30. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you, and you will not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. Please, don't get depressed. I'm sensing that. This is what we are blocked from. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you. Oh, good. That's a good one. Right there. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. What do you see? Who here is driven mad by COVID-19? Who here is driven mad by the Ukraine war? Who here is driven mad by all the controversy that's coming up with Roe v. Wade? How many are basically driven mad by the fact that you watch the news every moment you possibly can? Good. I gave up about 15 years ago. What you see will drive you mad. Why? Because you're seeing all the curses. We don't have any part of those curses in our lives. Yes, know what's going on, but you don't need every single detail. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. So much truth. 35. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils and from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you will not anoint yourselves with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher. You will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head. You will be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies from the Lord that the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand. Let's jump down to verse 58, because I'm getting depressed. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear his honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, in other words, to listen to his voice and what he tells you to do in every situation, the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Stop there for just a moment. Well, good. We won't have boils on ourselves. We won't have this. We won't have that. But, oh, I have this cancer. Woe is me, I have COVID. Woe is me, I have the flu. Woe is me, I have this and that and the other thing. Next verse. Also, every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. So all the diseases that were not named can be brought upon you, or you can be blocked from it. Then you shall be left few in number, blah, 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 and then the end. That's chapter 28. Yes. It can be depressing. And when we look at it, and we look at the world we live in and the things that happen to us, and I can guarantee you there are so many Christians that will say, but I do follow the Lord and all these things, and this still happens to me. But do you actually believe and have the faith to receive the blessings. Because when you look at scriptures that say that he rejoices in the prosperity of his people, when you look at verses that say that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he adds no sorrow to it, and you start to say, well, that's not me, and I can't believe that, then you don't believe in a God that gives you joy and life more abundantly. And so how do you expect something to come upon you that you don't even believe in? And that's the key point to the walk of faith, is to believe that God is a God who blesses. And it's the blessing of Abraham and all who believe are heirs with Abraham, joint heirs with Christ. Those are promises in the Word. And so we need to look at those words and say, yes, I am a part of that. And you know what? God even tells us what to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, so a chapter ahead. We'll start in verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. It's not the letter of the law. Because what does he say there? He says, I will circumcise your heart. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 6. I will get there eventually. He made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And it's not the letter of the law, and it's a letter that is written, it's a thing that's written on our hearts. That's part of the new covenant. So even in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God is promising us that there will come a day that there will be a covenant that is written on the heart. It's written with the Holy Spirit and that inner witness. And those are the commandments that we need to follow. The law, those things that are written there, guess what? The Holy Spirit will not guide you against them. But that's not the point. The point is that the Holy Spirit allows you to work in modern day when some of those laws don't really make sense. But let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8, where it talks about that type of writing. Hebrews chapter 8. And we're going to do 7 to 13. If that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, God says, Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, not like the covenant that was made with Moses, on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, and they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them because they did not continue in my covenant, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. It's the inner witness. It's the Holy Spirit guiding us. It's the voice of the Lord that we are to listen to. And then we go back to Deuteronomy 30, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. And this is where God tells us what to do. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live. That kind of makes sense. You know, if you read the first 14 verses of chapter 28, you read the 54 other verses in chapter 28, which would you choose? The first 14. And the protection from the other 54. So he tells us, he says, choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. The blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's our promise. How do we do it? We choose it. We choose life. The blessings and the redemption from the curses is a choice. It's a choice that we have to make. How do we choose against it? We follow the voice of the Lord. Follow the voice of the Lord. I could make a cheesy song on that, but I'm not going to. Those of you that are Wizard of Oz fans understand. Thank you, Terrell. So what comes with choosing life? All them blessings. And what does he say there in 30 verse something or other? He says, I have set before you today life and prosperity. Let's change that word, because prosperity is really offensive to some people. Changes it to provision. And with it comes abundance. Provision with abundance. If you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you actually read it with how it's written there and everything there, you can notice a lot of these blessings cannot be done without abundance. And that's where Proverbs 10:22 comes in. That's where Malachi 3:10 in, where he opens the storehouse of heaven, which is referred to in Deuteronomy 28. And he pours out his blessings. So the question is, and this is where it gets sobering, if the windows of heaven ain't opening, then do an examination and find out why. And it's not just about finances. I'm not just talking about that. Let's turn to 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So this is telling us that we can expect prosperity or provision in all areas of life. That's in your body, because he mentions health. That is your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those of you who live with anxiety, the promise is that you prosper in your mind and your will and your emotions. Those of you who have difficulties in making the decisions, your promise is to prosper in your area of the will. Those of you who suffer from sickness, your body is part of this prospering thing. Some of us, our bodies are prospering way too well. But it's the blessing of the Lord, and He adds no sorrow to it. It's us who adds the sorrow. My daughter made me feel so well the other day when I told her what my weight was, and she said, it's just a number. It is just a number. So if the windows of heaven ain't opening, do an examination. And it should be the process of all the blessings of God, all the promises that are there. We should do an examination of ourselves and find out, is there a reason why this is not happening to me? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you. And then act on whatever He says. That's what the voice of the Lord is. He's not going to come down in a booming voice and speak to you. He may, He can, and He has. But usually it's that inner witness, something that just says, either this ain't right or this is exactly the way. And we need to listen to that and actually do what it says, because He's trying to guide us. So what have you chosen? Have you chosen blessings and redemption? Have you chosen the curse and adversity? And it's not necessarily that there's all the areas that you've chosen the curses. But we need to remember that we get the blessings and we get the block from the curses. So that all of it is part of us. That we don't have to live with any of those curses. I still do. There's still some things in my life that I have that need to get out of there because of the blessings of the Lord. And yes, I am looking through it and saying, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this? But those blessings can come. So I say to you in the words of the writings of Moses, choose life. Do you believe or have faith that God will honor your choice? That's the big question. He has promised, so stand on it.